I played a lot of solitaire growing up. I was an only child and a nerd, and thus alone a lot of the time, and when I wasn't, I was asked to mind my manners and keep quiet around the adults. For most of my adolescence, I used a weathered pack of dark blue playing cards that had the logo of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters embossed in gold on the back, a pair of horses' heads atop a wagon wheel. Adults would see the horse head next to the Teamster's name and laugh in disbelief that a union with alleged mafia ties would have a horse's head anywhere near its logo. I hadn't yet seen The Godfather, and so I didn't understand the irony, but I often pretended I did. "I know," I would say, laughing along without understanding. I was alone, on the outside of the joke, wishing, rather pathetically, to be on the inside, where everyone else was. The Teamsters Union was where my mother worked at the tail end of the heyday of American labor organizing, circa 1971. She had immigrated to America from Rangoon, Burma, in 1965, escaping a military dictatorship. Burma is now officially known as Myanmar. This dates back to 1989, when the ruling military junta changed the name of the country in what many considered a bid to deflect international attention away from the gross human rights violations that it was carrying out across the country. My family, and all the Burmese exiles I have known, continued to call the country Burma as an act of defiance, a refusal to acknowledge an illegitimate junta and its decrees. As a matter of fact, referring to the country as Burma was official U.S. policy through much of the Obama administration. At any rate, throughout this book, I refer to the country and its people as Burma and Burmese. Despite its unfortunate colonial nomenclature, it remains the way in which my family has identified itself and separated itself from a regime that has persecuted and killed its own citizens and continues to. From my mother's initial landing pad in Washington, D.C., she went on to attend Swarthmore College, became enamored of leftist politics, and moved to Philadelphia after graduation to live in a commune with her French boyfriend and print up copies of what she described as a socialist daily. The French boyfriend fell out of favor, and my mother moved back to Washington, D.C., where she found a job at the Teamsters Union. That led to an interview for a job at the Alliance for Labor Action. The man who interviewed her there was my father, and from the moment they met, she couldn't stand him. Perhaps that should have been a warning, but instead it became their meet-cute. They hated each other, and then they got married. My father's ancestral path to that game-changing interview began on the opposite side of the world. He was the fourth child of a rural mail carrier in northeast Iowa, the son of an Irish-American mother and a father who claimed roots in Luxembourg. My dad showed an early interest in politics and, like my mother, came to Washington to do the work of liberal causes. There were no socialist dailies or French girlfriends, but he had longish hair and worked on George McGovern's presidential campaign and knew Hunter S. Thompson. My mother and father's remote histories intersected on a bridge of progressive bona fides and casual early 70s bohemianism. Only a few generations back, their families had been separated by oceans and mountain ranges and steppes. But in Washington, their shared values were enough to draw them close. They were married in 1975 and several years later had their only child, me, a daughter born of an unlikely set of Burmese, Luxembourg, Irish bloodlines. Of this weird heritage, I knew little. Our Burmese story was relayed to me by my mother and grandmother in occasional fits and starts, usually with food as the catalyst. A pot of chicken curry would summon some certain memory, which would in turn beget a snippet of family history. But only a snippet. The stories were carefully constructed, well-worn vignettes that never risked genuine revelation. Burma was kept at a safe distance from our American lives. My father's people were from Europe. His grandfather left the old world sometime during the late 19th century, motivation unclear. I didn't know much about his departure and why he'd made it, or even much about the place where he began, Luxembourg, a strange country about which little was discussed in my family. The one detail that slipped through was the name of his exotic-sounding hometown, Esch. And all we knew about Esch was that it sounded like the sort of place you'd want to get away from.